652.
662.
662. 662.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. 62.
Yeah,
a little more.
We'll be there just a minute. First and last.
Yes.
Okay.
Right next to.
Oh, 63?
61.
61. Okay. Which verses?
What verses?
One
and four.
Come now, Almighty King, help us from hand to sing. Help us to praise Father.
Four, six, seven, one and four. Trust and obey.
Fellowship sweet, we will sing at His feet. happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
If you remember all these verses, you can go home now. That's the message for today. Yes,
Becky.
519. 519. 1 and 3.
1 and 3.
519. 519.
The harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as a listening sky. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that has darkness for us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Praising the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on to victory is won. God of our lyrics, God of our silent tears, Thou who hath brought us thus far on the way, Thou who hast by Thy might
let us in through
the light, keep us forever in the path we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places our God where we met Thee. Lest heart drunk with the wine of the world we forget Thee. Shadow beneath Thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land.
I think that's all for this morning. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. It's beautiful. Welcome, everybody, to the United Methodist Church House of Faith. We're glad that you are here today, as we are every day. And welcome to if there's anyone new. We're missing a few people who are traveling, and some that are about to, and some that just got back. And we're happy to have you all here. Please sign into the little pew papers or whatever. We'd like to know who's here. And if you have any prayer requests, you can put them on that paper also. Also, everybody, please join us after service for coffee fellowship. Edna made something special. I know secrets. Okay. Let's see what we got. The August newsletter is available in the Narthex. Pick one up if you haven't read it yet, or if you get it online. And if you'd like to get it online, just notify the office, and we'd be more than happy to do that, too. Let's see. We have some happy birthday in August people. Quite a list. We have Debbie Wilson, Ray Wilson III, Karen Colby, Dell Barwick, Judy Lloyd, Joanne Dyerly, Ron Pitzenberger, Larry Stiff, Colleen, she's not here today, but Kelly Wilson, Katie Mickle, Steve Dyerly, Susan Elmore, Lori Pertile, Jack Kelsey, and Mark Chero. Happy birthday to all of you.
A lot of parents were very busy during the August,
during
apparently.
The holidays. Yes. And we have a happy anniversary to Steve and Ann Mickle, Carol and Mike Pastilli, and Perry and Linda King. Happy anniversary to y'all. And the Parents' Night Out is on Friday, August 28th at 6 o'clock to 8:30. It says, join us for Shaun the Sheep and other claymation shorts. They will be learning about making claymation movies and making their own clay characters to take home. That sounds like fun. And if there's nothing else, if you'll join me in the call to worship, standing if you're able. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me.
Declaring the outcome from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done.
I don't have my glasses on. I forgot to pick them up. My purpose shall stand, and I will fulfill my intention.
I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass.
I have planned, and I will do it. Our hymn is, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, number 128.
Blessed thought, all wars with have me comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still his God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. He's faithful, for long I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes my sin of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still of troubled sea, in his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. rest my hand in thine. No ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, still is my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follow I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Now is the time for the passing of the peace. Peace be with you. Hi, Trudy. How you doing? Yeah, are they going to do 1-4 verses?
Yeah, because it's a short one. Yeah. All righty. Welcome, welcome. Let's, a lot of them are apparently traveling. We have several on line this morning joining with us. Always faithful ones, always, always. Look at April, we are so happy to see ya. Good morning to you, Bill. I know you are sitting right next to her, side by side. Good morning to Kenny. Kenny is still traveling somewhere in the universe. Glad to have you. And good morning to you, Chris. And David down in Hemet, good morning. And welcome, everyone.
So now's the time for your joys and concerns, if you'll raise your hand if you have one. I have a joy that we had a really lovely wedding here yesterday with some of the nicest people, and it was a very lovely wedding. And I was on my feet a really long time, so now my back is hurting, and I'm walking around like an old lady. I would like prayers, though, for Lance Alfred. A while ago, about 2 years ago, we asked for prayers for him for lung cancer that had gone to his kidney and his liver, and after chemotherapy, it all disappeared. but maybe not quite because it has just reoccurred again. So I would like prayers for Lance Alfred.
I'd also ask for prayers for Elena, my friend that was in the hospital so long. She's on hospice now, and they've moved her to a board and care in Loma Linda, so we're going to go visit her this afternoon. Also, don't forget George Weeks. His broken back is healing, and it's going to take him a long time, but he probably won't be able to get up and join us on Zoom for a while. My friend Elena Hotson, she's on your prayer list.
I would ask for travel mercies today. My daughter and her family are in the air right now on their way to Pennsylvania to deliver Reagan to college. And then after church, and then I'm going to drive to Blythe. And then we're going to be on our way to Panama. So I'm going to miss Sunday, next Sunday. I don't like that, but, you know. Also, while I'm gone, on the 22nd, my grandson and his wife are going to have twin boys. They're going to take the babies on the 22nd, and already they're over 7 pounds each. So good, healthy babies and twin boys to add to our not a family. It's getting bigger all the time. Then I've got another one due, I think, in October. There's going to be another baby born to us. So three new great-grandsons, and so it's been great. So anyway, travel mercies for me and my family today and tomorrow. Thank you.
Special prayers for mom carrying 2 7-pound babies. And my grandchildren also have birthdays this month. They're going to be 6 and 9. Actually, June's already made it to 6. Peter's got another week.
I would ask for prayers for Steve and Joanne Dyerly. Steve has had a terrible, year and a half after heart surgery. And because of that, Joanne's year has not been great either. He was rehospitalized again this week, and it's kind of touch and go.
Good morning. I would like to ask for prayers. My wife and I are taking a trip to the Philippines to see family and everything, and we'll be gone for 3 Sundays because we leave on Saturday night, next Saturday night, but we're only gone for 16 days, but it's going to be 3 Sundays. We looked at it like, oh my goodness, okay. But anyway, we appreciate your prayers, and there's been a lot of rain in the Philippines, so we're praying for good weather when we go there because otherwise we might be stuck in a lot of rain. And so we appreciate your traveling mercies in that. And then also for Young and Chung, who are gone on a little trip too right now. They'll be gone for a little bit going around here and where they like to go. Okay.
When you arrive in Philippines, send some rains over to California.
If there's anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and then we'll let you unmute. Okay, hang on, Kenny. Oops.
And then April.
And April. All right, we're going to let April go first.
Well, today is our daughter's 55th birthday, our Stacy. So just wish her, I hope we live to see her become 60. That's what I told her this morning. So happy birthday, Stacy.
Thanks, April. Happy birthday to Stacy. Go ahead, Kenny.
Okay. I just got an update on my brother-in-law from my sister, Ruthie. He's been on her list for a while, but my brother-in-law, Pat Fletcher, he was a commanding officer of a anti-submarine squadron in the Navy, and then he flew for United for 20-some years and ferried people around the country safely, you know, for that many thousand hours, and he's always been the captain, you know. He's always been the one to solve the problems, and has always been in one of the driver's seat. And now it's Alzheimer's, you know, they call that death by a thousand cuts, but now he's had some significant decline, and he can't be left alone, and can't hardly find his way out of a room, you know, so it's just torture for him, and of course everyone around him, but you know, it's just really hard for him and my sister and everyone else. If you keep Captain Pat Fletcher in your prayers, they would appreciate that.
Thanks, Kenny. Pat and Ruthie, too.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Okay. Yeah. Now it's time for join me with the unison prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing.
Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. The covenant which I made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven.
Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have a lot to pray for. Our loved ones, our church, and all the churches, so that they may be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for our communities where we belong, and our nation, and the world. Let us pray. Lord our God, we recognize your presence among us. We know you are here with us through your Holy Spirit. So we open our hearts, our mind, even our body unto you, so that you may come and touch us, empower us, heal us, drive all darkness out of our hearts and our lives. We are yours, O Lord. We recognize we belong to you. And we ask you to empower us, to use us for your glory. We have come with need, various need, emotionally, psychologically, physically, and spiritually. And you are the one who can make us whole. You are the one who can meet all our need. So we lift up our hearts unto you, O Lord. We ask you to come and touch us one more time. Reassure us that you are the living God, that we may receive courage and strength that comes from your presence, from your living word, and from your Holy Spirit. Our prayers go unto you, O Lord, and we know that you never fail to answer our prayers. So give us confidence in lifting up our prayers unto you. We have prayers spoken and unspoken. We have prayers for ourselves. We ask you, O Lord Jesus, hear our prayers. We have things that we may not be able to share, but you know our need. You know our circumstance exactly. And you are the one who can meet all our needs with your power. So, Lord, recognizing your power, recognizing our weakness, we yield to you and ask you to receive us, empower us, and use us for your glory. As we worship together this morning, O Lord, we recognize once more you are our sovereign God, you are our Savior, you are our sustainer. You have all the answers that we need. So, Lord, we submit to you, asking you to be glorified by our worship this morning, and you continue to use us to fulfill your will, not only us, but your church, all your churches in the world, and your people in the world, and the countries that you are using to bring glory unto your name. So we now, as one community of faith, join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now is time for the young at heart. Moment.
Wangari's Trees of Peace, a true story from Africa, written by Jeanette Winter. Wangari lives under an umbrella of green trees in the shadow of Mount Kenya in Africa. She watches the birds in the forest where she and her mother go to gather firewood for cooking. And she helps harvest the sweet potatoes, sugar cane, and maize from the rich soil. Wangari shines in school, and when she grows tall, like the trees in the forest, she wins a scholarship to study in America. 6 years later, her studies over, Wangari returns to her Kenya home and sees a change. What has happened, she wonders. Where are the trees? Wangari sees women bent from hauling firewood miles and miles from home. She sees barren land where no crops grow. And where are the birds? Thousands of trees have been cut down to make room for buildings, but no one planted new trees to take their place. Will all of Kenya become a desert, she wonders, as her tears fall? Wangari thinks about the barren land. I can begin to replace some of the lost trees here in my own backyard, one tree at a time. She starts by planting 9 seedlings. Watching the seedlings take root gives Wangari the idea to plant more, to start a farm for baby trees, a nursery. In an open space, she plants row after row of the tiny trees. Next, Wangari convinces the village women that planting trees is a good thing. She gives each one a seedling. Our lives will be better when we have trees again. You'll see, we are planting the seeds of hope. The women spread out over their village, planting tiny trees in long rows. Like a green belt stretching over the land. Government men laugh. Women can't do this, they say. It takes trained foresters to plant trees. The women ignore the laughter and keep planting. Wangari pays them a small amount for each seedling still living after 3 months, their first earnings ever. Word travels like wind rustling through leaves about the green returning to Wangari's village. Soon, other women in other villages and towns and cities in Kenya are planting long rows of seedlings too. But the cutting continues. Wangari stands tall as an oak to protect the old trees still remaining. We need a park more than we need an office tower. The government men disagree. Wangari blocks their way, so they hit her with clubs. They call her a troublemaker and put her in jail. And still she stands tall. Right is right, even if you're alone. But Wangari is not alone. Talk of the trees spreads all over Africa like ripples in Lake Victoria. More women hear the talk and plant even more seedlings in longer and longer rows. The seedlings take root and grow tall until there are over 30 million trees where there were none. The umbrella of green in Kenya returns. The women walk tall, their backs straight, for now they can gather firewood closer to home. The land is no longer barren. Sweet potatoes, sugarcane, and maize grow again in the rich red earth. The whole world hears of Wangari's trees and of her army of women who planted them. And if you were to climb to the very top of Mount Kenya today, you would see the millions of trees growing below you. And the green Wangari brought back to Africa. The end. Wangari Maathai was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 because of her contribution to world peace through the Green Belt Movement. In African tradition, a tree is a symbol of peace. So it was fitting that when notified of winning the award, one of Wangari's first acts was to plant a Nandi flame tree at the base of Mount Kenya. In her acceptance speech, she said, "We are called to assist the earth to heal her wounds, and in the process heal our own, indeed to embrace the whole creation in all its diversity, beauty, and wonder. May we each do many small things to make a big difference in our world. Amen."
Our next hymn is Amazing Grace, number 378, verses 1 through 4.
My hopes secure. my shield and portion be as life endures.
Our scripture reading today is Ephesians 1, 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and his will, so that we, who are the first to set our hope on Christ, may live for the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So happy to see you here worshiping with us in this beautiful and cool sanctuary. And I pray together with you that we will all experience the presence of the living God in our personal life and the life of this church, and the power of the Holy Spirit touching us, especially through the word that God prepared for all of us to hear this morning. A man wandered into the woods trying to escape his midlife crisis. Thinning hair, a job that made him question his life choices, and a dating record so empty that even his mom had stopped asking. As he muttered to himself about his destiny, he spotted something shiny, a dusty old lamp under some leaves. Well, he thought, it's either a magic lamp or another can of diet soda. He rubbed it, and bam, a genie burst out in a cloud of glitter. Three wishes, the genie boomed, and no, you can't wish for hair. For my first wish, said the man, I'd like $5 million. And poop, $5 million appeared in a fancy James Bond suitcase. What is your second wish? Asked the genie. For my second wish, I'd like a brand new red convertible Ferrari. Please, I want my middle life crisis cured, said the man. And poop, a gleaming new Ferrari appears. And for your third wish, inquired the genie. And the man pondered thoughtfully. Well, I have plenty of money and a slick sports car, so I believe I can attract some women. For my last wish, I want to be absolutely irresistible to women. With a dramatic poof, he was instantly transformed into a box of chocolate. This significant change made his luxuries meaningless. He could not enjoy his money and car. Life is like a flowing river, always passing through different stages. You know, many experience the changes all the time. And some very radical changes, like the one who won lottery. And the thing is, they don't know how to handle that. The sudden changes, they cannot handle. Regardless, all of us are going through changes. While frequent changes might make us feel uncertain or uneasy, they also help us discover our inner strength. How can we stay calm when faced with change? Like Paul, we can find happiness no matter the circumstances. When Paul wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, he was going through major changes. Newly arrived in Rome and under house arrest, even amid restriction and uncertainty, he stayed positive and accepted the situation as God's will. His secret was simple yet powerful: strong faith and contentment with God's plan. If Paul could find peace in tough times, so can we, by trusting and embracing God's purpose for our lives. So let's look more closely at Paul's situation. Paul wrote his last five letters while he was in Rome's prison, including Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. Some usually do not include 2 Timothy, but apparently 2 Timothy is written while he was in prison because he mentioned about his departure, imminent departure. The first letter he penned after arriving in Rome was Ephesians. Why Ephesians first? Actually, it makes sense considering he spent about 3 years in Ephesus, the longest time he spent anywhere during his missionary trips. This suggests Paul cared deeply about the church there. When Paul was writing this letter, he had just arrived in Rome after a very tough sea voyage across the Mediterranean from Caesarea, Israel. The journey was filled with severe storms, and everyone on the ship thought that they might not survive. They went without food for days, and the ship eventually wrecked, forcing everyone to swim to a nearby island. Before that difficult journey, Paul had been arrested and tried in Caesarea for 2 years. Ever since his first arrest in Jerusalem, Paul's circumstances stayed challenging. He could have been free during his trial in Caesarea, but he chose to claim his Roman citizenship and appeal to Caesar, which meant taking his case to a higher court in Rome. Caesar was the title used for Roman emperor, a title that started with Julius Caesar. At that time, Nero was the emperor, and this might have foreshadowed the difficult road ahead for Paul, hinting at the possibility of his upcoming martyrdom. Let us put ourselves in Paul's shoes as he wrote Ephesians. Our lives were turned upside down 2.5 years ago. We've faced trials that sapped our emotional and physical strength. After surviving a frightening storm, we finally reached Rome, only to find we can move freely. Rome's ruler is unpredictable, and we might worry our time is running out. In such a moment, what would we write? Most likely, would share what we are facing to ease our emotional burden and seek comfort. We might feel we are suffering because of a wrong choice or that the outcome didn't match what we hoped for when dedicating our lives to the Lord. We've probably asked God why He allows such hardship for faithful followers like us. But did Paul write about his own struggles in Ephesus? Interestingly, we don't find any description of his situation. His words sound more like a casual sermon than a hardship report. When Paul wrote to other churches, he often addressed this specific issues they faced. But in Ephesians, he doesn't mention any particular problem in Ephesus. Rather, he begins by praising their faith. Here's what it says in verse 15 and 16. It says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Only at the very end of the letter does he briefly mention his own situation, saying, "I am an ambassador in chains." Why didn't this new situation of imprisonment in Rome bother Paul at all? Why didn't he wish things could have been different? You can find the answer at the very start of his letter. Take a look at how he began. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will." Honestly, in his wildest dream, Paul never thought he would become an apostle. He was a passionate man who persecuted Christians and their churches. On his way to Damascus to arrest some Christians, a dazzling light from heaven suddenly blinded him. God told Ananias that Paul was his chosen instrument to share his message with the Gentiles, and he sent Ananias to pray for Paul and restore his sight. Ananias would have talked to Paul about God's calling him to spread the gospel. So it was not Paul's will, but God's will that made him an apostle. And whatever happened to Paul, he believed it was all part of God's plan. Paul took this understanding even deeper. In verse 4, he says, "God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." This means God chose Paul and all believers before they were even born and before God created the world. Do you know what this idea is called in theology? It's called predestination. As Paul explains in verse 5, "He destined us in love to be His children through Jesus Christ, according to His good purpose." The translation that we read here says destined, but in original text, that word is, in Greek text, is proorisas. And proorisas, you can test it later on. Just speak to your cell phone and then say proorisas in Greek, and it'll say the meaning of it. It says predestined, foreordained, or determined ahead of time. I mean, destined is a similar meaning, but the original sense, predestination, is a little stronger than destined. And the NIV that I usually use translated as predestined instead of destined. And RSV and then the newer RSV use destined. That is a little weaker in meaning. Paul used this same word, predestination, in verse 11, where he says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." Not every believer believes in predestination. Calvinists and Presbyterians used to believe in it, but they no longer do, surprisingly. They now hold a watered-down understanding of predestination. Methodists believe in God's providence, meaning God has sovereign power over everything. Both predestination and providence affirm God's sovereignty, but predestination speaks of absolute sovereignty, while providence leaves some room for human will. So you can tell when Paul says he became the apostle by the will of God, he was really serious. Whatever happened to him was already predetermined long before. However we understand the word, Paul, to me, is a believer in predestination, as he repeats the concept of it and the word at the beginning of Ephesians. This suggests that Paul fully accepted his circumstances as God's predestination. He had an unwavering conviction about how God operated in his life. Imprisonment in Rome was ordained by God. Therefore, Paul was perfectly okay with it. Now, how do we respond when unexpected changes occur beyond our control, as in Paul's situation? It's natural to feel discouraged or even to deny them at first. Even as we choose to follow Jesus, we still have some influence over our lives and often prefer to avoid surprises. But we should approach these moments with faith and openness, trusting that God works, everything works together for good in God. Yet our action often override our faith. Here is a story about Maria Joao Perez, a renowned concert pianist and talented Portuguese musician. One evening in 1999, she unexpectedly received a call for help. The pianist scheduled to perform in Amsterdam couldn't make it, so they had to find someone to step in just a day before the concert. When they reached out to Maria, it was 9 p.m. the night before. She kindly agreed and caught a flight to Amsterdam the very next morning. The orchestra, the conductor, and Maria had no time to rehearse. The grand 2,000-seat hall was already filled with eager audiences. Everyone was ready to go. And at the conductor's cue, the orchestra started playing. Suddenly, Maria realized the music wasn't what she had been told the night before. The program listed Mozart Piano Concerto in D minor, K466, but she had been told over the phone it was Mozart piano concerto in A major, K-4-8-8. Someone had mixed up K-4-6-6 with K-4-8-8. Usually concert pianists spend months preparing, and Maria had only played K-4-6-6 nearly a year earlier. She wasn't ready to perform it on a second's notice, especially live on stage. The conductor, Riccardo Cialli, didn't notice the shock on her face as he directed the orchestra to begin. And this is what happened afterwards. We're going to watch the video clip of it. Watch Maria's facial expression.
She was shocked because she was expecting us to play another concerto. So when I started the first bar of the D minor concerto, she kind of jumped and panicked, like an electric shock, I think. And she couldn't consider even moving ahead playing, you know. And then we talked a moment, and she told me I was expecting to play a completely different piece. I do what I can do if I remember. And the miracle is that she has such a memory that she could, within a minute, switch to a new concerto without making one mistake.
Can you imagine if you were in a position? She was like,
I have been buying
Would you like to know? That was the feeling I had when I came to this church first.
You did well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. What would you do if you were in the situation? I mean, imagine that Paul's situation never been improved. He went through all the ordeals, and including that, you know, terrible storms in the voyage, and arrive in Rome, the situation has never improved, and probably was worse. And, you know, he probably began to hear rumors about this crazy guy, Nero. But he didn't say anything. He not mentioned Nana on that letter. You know, it was like, I'm perfectly fine. How you doing? I hear all these good reports. I pray, you know, that you continue to do well. Can we do that? Our lives move quickly with ever-changing circumstances that can catch us off guard. But remember, God is like a loving conductor, guiding us along the way and encouraging us, "I know you can do it." I call the perspective Paul had when he wrote Ephesians a pilgrim's perspective. Pilgrim's perspective. Do we have the pilgrim's perspective? Let's adopt the same pilgrim's perspective, trusting that God has chosen us and is actively directing our lives according to His perfect plan. Even when things don't turn out as we expected, we keep doing our best, confident that God's will is at work behind every sin of our lives. We surrender our worries to Him, trusting that He is guiding us according to His purpose. And we just pray, "Thy will be done," every moment, every day, all throughout our lives, "Thy will be done," humbly following His lead. This is how we should look at our circumstances and how we should walk our pilgrim's journey. Amen.
Now's the time for our offering. And as you know, there's a plate at the back of the church, or you can mail in your gifts and tithes. And special music. Thank you.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of life. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, our thanksgiving to you is our humble recognition that you are the God of everything. You created us, you sent to this world, and you have given us everything we own. We belong to you, including our possession and our life. So we give back to you, O Lord, recognizing that we are yours. Receive this offering. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our final hymn is number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Let us pray. You have come into our life, O Lord, and you have made us yours. We recommit ourselves, recognizing we are your people, your instrument, your disciples in the world today. So, Lord, use us and fulfill your will for your glory. We are here committing our lives once more to you and to your will. We ask your
empowerment as we recommit ourselves to your service and your blessing upon all we do. Therefore, O Lord Jesus, send us forth with your blessing and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you out to others so all the world can see. God will be there watching from above. Oh, now in peace.